I recently discussed the pain that I've had to grow through as a result of the very challenging relationship that I have with my birth mother. And, you know, the wound that she created has taken years to heal. And although that is a very painful part of my life, I want to tell you, God gave me beauty for ashes, y'all, in the form of a woman who stepped into my life and became my godmother. So today, I'm going to invite you to sit down with me and my 82-year-old godmother for a chat about her life and the lessons that I think we can all learn from it. Now, listen, y'all, this woman epitomizes class, grace, style. She taught me everything I know about fashion, confidence, poise, femininity. But y'all, don't be fooled. She is beautiful, but she also owns a gun and she knows how to use it. Hey, y'all, welcome to my show. I am so excited about today's episode because I'm honored to get to have my very first guest join me. And that is my godmother, the beautiful Mrs. Carrie Johnson Parker Warren.
Ah, you're so kind. I love you. You're so kind to me, but
I'm so glad you're here. Listen, I told you earlier, I went ahead and had to wear a dress to show off my shoulders because one of the things that she taught me was that this is, you say this is the last thing to go? Tell them how you explained it to me, why you got to show your shoulders.
Everything else will drop and fall and get a little wrinkled, but your shoulders will be the last thing to go. So I'll start it at the end.
No.
And I can't show too much now. The only thing I feel comfortable showing will be my shoulders.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Well, let me tell y'all. So we're going to get into our relationship, how we met and all that, but I wanted to actually talk about something we were talking about before this, which was you recently got hacked. Your email got hacked. And I remember I got an email and it looked like your email address, but the email said something like, "Hey, do you shop on Amazon?" Mm-hmm. And when I saw it, I was like, this is not Carrie. Like, I just knew it wasn't Carrie. But apparently there were some people who fell for it. Can you kind of share what happened? Because to know you, you would know this is not Carrie.
Well, first of all, I had about 25 people either email me or message me or call me and tell me, no, say, didn't sound like you, Carrie. So I just deleted it. Mm-hmm. Somebody else said it didn't sound like them, but I went to the tennis court the next day and one of my tennis players told me, say, "Carrie, I truly did want to help you." I said, "Help me? Help the bear. Don't help me. Help the bear. Do not help me." I had nothing to do with Amazon. I shop from Amazon, but through another friend. Mm-hmm. And it was just a nightmare. Everything happened to my phone and my life in one day.
And it sounds like what the people did is they impersonated you and said that you were selling gift cards, $200.
$200 gift card. And as a matter of fact, I did have one good friend send me $200 to buy the gift card. But I told her, she told me about it after she had sent it. So I said, get off the phone right now and go and try to cancel
that.
Which she was lucky enough and she did cancel that. But it was devastating and it was quite funny.
Because to know you, like, you're not selling gift cards.
I don't sell anything.
No, you don't sell a ticket.
I give it away.
Listen, if you're, you know, inviting us to an event that you're hosting, you buy the table we just show up. You don't sell tickets. So now you're out here selling gift cards.
Selling gift cards.
No,
ma'am. Well, you know, there are some people that, you know, sit home all day and think all these things to do to us old folks.
Anyway, you are the least of the old folk. So we're going to get into your life and your upbringing. But I think before we do that, I'd love to talk about the beginning of our relationship. Mm-hmm. Because I was thinking about, I mean, you've been in my life now, I feel like more than 15 years. Mm-hmm. But I remember when I first met you. So I was 27, 28, maybe, and I had just gotten appointed to a board in the community. And I was really young, and I walked into this board meeting, and there were all these influential women in the community on this board. And so I was honored to just be on the board. And I remember when I walked in the board room, everyone was dressed so nice, but you stood out. Like, mm-hmm. you had on this beautiful St. John knit, like, suit. You had on your high heels, the red bottom. I mean, you were just a vision. And I remember being like, she is gorgeous. And then when you talked, it was like this presence that you had.
Oh,
this
no,
confidence.
You were so kind.
No, you did. And I remember, I remember thinking then, I was like, I've got to get to know her. I was like, I've got to get to know her, because I didn't have a relationship with my mom, mm-hmm. and I didn't have a mentor. I didn't have any of that. But in you, I just saw a woman I wanted to aspire to be like. And so I was just in awe of you.
Thank you. No, I appreciate those.
It's true.
Sometimes it's kind of difficult for us to accept all these accolades, but you're kind, but I do appreciate it.
It's true.
Makes me want to do something else. Yeah, you know.
Well, I'd love for you to share your earliest memory of me and just what you thought. Yeah.
Okay. Well, really, your reputation preceded you, Nona. Mm-hmm. I knew about you. I think that was about the time when you had gotten this job at GRU.
Right. That's around that time. Yeah.
And the person who had the job before you was really respected mm-hmm. and recognized in the community as a leader. But I did hear about you to begin with. And people always tell you good things, but some of them have to throw in a teeny little negative.
Yeah.
But anyway, I understand that there were, when you were contemplating applying for this job, that somebody told you, oh, don't apply for that, Nona, because it's not your time.
Exactly.
But who can tell us whose time and when the time is other than God? And that we listen to him. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you got your message from him to go for that job, and you got the job. But I knew you then. And I had heard all the good things about you, you know, how beautiful you were and how talented you were. And as the other folk would say, well-spoken, you speak so well. But anyway, I wanted to get to know you too, because a lot of times people say that, you know, the impact that you have on their lives, but they don't know the impact that they have on your life. Mm. And I really wanted to get to know you too, as probably more so than you wanted to get to meet me.
No.
But when I did see you, I said, oh, this is somebody that if I were to start a new world would be there with me.
Listen, and I would love to be in your new world.
And I think I've told you that before, that if I had a new world to start, there would be a check and you would be with me. But when I did meet you, and then when we became friends, you had an impact on my life too, because I always wanted to have a girl. I just had one son, so that I could name her Carrie, like I was named after my grandmother.
Wow.
So anyway, you didn't have anybody that I could name Carrie.
And then I had two boys. So
two boys. So that didn't work. But anyway, you had an impact on, you still do. Like I tell you all the time, I'm trying to be like you now.
Listen, I am inching my way to your level, okay? I love it. Well, I'd love to just talk about your upbringing. Take us back to your childhood. Like, where were you born? Tell us about your family.
Okay, I was born in Ocala, Florida, and I am number two. Mm-hmm. There were three girls. There were five girls and one boy. And we were all born right there in Ocala. Mm-hmm. We were not wealthy by any means, but I think that we weren't wealthy financially, but we were wealthy because we always had our mom and our dad and our family. And when we say it takes a village, we lived in a village because my grandmother was around the corner. My granddaddy was in the neighborhood. My aunt was around another corner. And then there was a time in life when your neighbor could chastise you. And if you did something in front of your neighbor, it's like doing something in front of your mother that was inappropriate because they welcome people, helping them look out for their children. Yeah. And then, of course, at that time, we thought that you only had to look after girls, but you have to look after boys, too, because things do happen to them. Yeah. And my dad passed away when I was in 11th grade. Wow. My mother was a seamstress, and my father was a taxi driver, and then eventually worked in a cafeteria. Mm-hmm. But he was the kind that was ill all the time with asthma, and it was really, really, I mean, those are my memories I have of my father always being sick. Mm-hmm. Now, we had happiness because we were right there with our family. And my mother, I mean, in the neighborhood, everybody knew us in the neighborhood, especially they knew the Johnson girls because there were three girls to start with. And I can remember growing up and during Easter time, my mother would make us dresses and embroidery butterflies and all things on our dresses. And all the neighbors would sit out on the porch and wait for the Johnson girls to come by so that they could see what mama had.
So that's where your fashion.
That's where the fashion. That's where the fashion came from.
Okay.
Yes. So we never owned a home when we were growing up. My aunt did, who was my father's only sister, and she was. Their mother passed away early, so she was sort of like his mother because she took care of him. She had a home, and she never had children. She was married three times, never had children.
Wow!
So we were her children, and what my mom and dad couldn't do for us, she always did because she was a teacher, and she had a little more money at that time than anybody else. And like I said, we rented. I don't ever remember, we never owned a home, we rented. And my mother did do maid work for the man who owned this little community. He came every Sunday morning, and I remember this like it was yesterday. He came every Sunday morning in his long Cadillac and his long cigar. Even though my mother did maid work for them, the rent was $7 a week on the house. Wow. And if you didn't have the $7, he got out of his long Cadillac and put a for rent sign on. So everybody in the neighborhood knew who didn't have that rent.
Wow.
But as soon as he drove around the corner, we took it down. I have a friend now that asked me, Carol, why do you always talk about your childhood? I say, well, because I'm proud of where I came from. It helps me to appreciate what I have now, appreciate life, and appreciate all of the things that you have done. Yeah. This is where most of the children in my neighborhood were doing as badly or doing. You know, we were equal to how we lived. So, we had a couple of doctor's children in our neighborhood that most of the time they're sitting on our front porch.
You know, I'm curious as I'm listening to you, and this wasn't even a question I thought to prepare for, but how did segregation affect your family and your upbringing? Because I just thought about the time period. I was like, that was the time before desegregation.
Yeah. Well, my parents followed the rules just like everybody else did. We know knew where the place was. Mm-hmm. We knew that when you went to the drugstore, if you were the first one there and somebody else came up that didn't look like you, we knew we had to step back and let them get waited on first. Mm-hmm. And so we knew what we had to do. And of course, I can remember one story. I don't know if I told you this before, Nona, that when I went to get my driver's license, there was a girl there who didn't look like me, and she was saying yes and no. And my mother went with me. Mm-hmm. And the examiner, who was a highway patrolman, told me to put a yes onto my, I put a sir onto my yes. Mm. And I didn't. Hmm. So when he checked my paper, he never looked at my paper. He looked me straight in the eye and put X's all the way down. So I went back. My mother carried me back. Mm-hmm. And she said, now you promise you're going to say yes, sir. I said, yes, I'll say yes, sir. I didn't. So he did it again. Uh-huh. And he did the same thing a third time. And my mama was begging me to say yes, sir, but I refused. Mm. And on the fourth time, he was out to lunch, and I got my learner's permit.
What made you decide not to say yes, sir?
It was sort of, I mean, I've always sort of had been a sort of rebel rouser.
Even, oh, we don't get into that, yes.
Even, you know, during my younger days. Mm. But I was like, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that. I want you to degrade me. So I never did. And that was, you know, when I got to high school, when I got my learner's permit. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as children, we just did what the adults did. Mm-hmm. In order for them to survive, they had to follow the rules. Mm-hmm. They didn't make the rules. They had to follow the rules that other people made. Yeah. And we were treated like second-class citizens, so we just fell into it. Mm-hmm. And if you didn't do what you had to do, then there were consequences for it.
Hmm. Like, yeah. Like what? What were some of the things that you thought would happen?
They would. You'd get arrested. They would find a way to get back at you. Mm. You know, you could be doing, if you had a car, you could be doing 10 and they'll say you're doing 25. So you didn't do anything but suck it up. And they didn't go against their word, because there was no power mm-hmm. at all. Mm-hmm. So being a child, you know, maybe I was a little bit spoiled and thought I could get away with stuff. Mm-hmm. But I just chose not to be degraded, yeah. You know.
And I see that definitely in you, which is a courage to say, mm-hmm. I matter. Like, yeah. I matter. I will be respected. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be disrespectful, mm-hmm. but I will mm-hmm. be respected.
And, you know, I think adults, although they wanted you to follow the rule, but I think on sometimes they were happy that you didn't. Hmm. Because they wouldn't let you know that, hey, I'm supporting your bad, uh-huh. your bad behavior. But I think sometimes what they couldn't do, we did it, you know?
Interesting.
You know, that's how I look at it. If I wanted to not do something when it came to them, I'd stand up and say, no, I was first in line. And they have their way. Mm-hmm. Even coming from college, when FSU was out and FAMU was out, mm-hmm. there would be tons of students at the bus station, mm-hmm. pushing and shoving. And I was at the front of the line, pushing and shoving and getting in the front. And the bus driver came off and told me, I don't know what you're pushing and shoving for. You're not going to get on the bus first. Mm. And that was in back there in the early 60s.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we had some experiences that our children will never have. Mm-hmm. And we had some experiences that we don't want our children to ever have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
What, thinking about like that experience with the bus and just other experiences, how did that shape you into the woman you are today?
I think I do have more courage.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I can think of some of the things that my father did for me or asked me to do that he didn't ask my older sister to do. So maybe he saw something in me. I can remember my father asking me in the sixth grade, he was taking us to Miami. We had family in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
Three girls, and he got a little tired.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked me in the sixth grade, could I hold the car in the road on the highway while he took a nap?
What?
And guess what? I did it while he took a little nap.
That was was that your first time driving?
First time driving. Now, he had that much.
While he took a nap?
While he took a nap. But the first time I hit a bump, he said, okay, I'll.
Right, now we're good now.
I'll take it from him. But, you know, I'm that way right now. If I can't do something and somebody thinks that I can do it, I don't want to disappoint them.
So you just go.
So I try. I just gave your son a picture. It was an embroidered picture with some words on it that say, if you think you can do something, you will eventually do it. If you think you can win, you can do it.
Yeah.
But if you start out with a negative attitude, it's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have faith and courage within your soul to know that, hey, I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
I did that with excuse me, you know, the Eileen Harris, the painter?
Yes, uh-huh.
Her painting, I took a couple of her paintings. I never painted in my life before. I took a couple of her paintings and copied them.
Wow.
Because I thought that I could do that, that sort of painting that she does.
Mm-hmm.
And I did it. And I started doing some painting. I mean, you know, that hobby is past now. I'm not, it's over. Mm-hmm. But I really do believe if you think you can do something and it gets within your heart and in your spirit, you can do it.
I totally agree with you. Like, I think that's why I know how to do so many different things.
Mm-hmm.
Because similar to you, if the occasion arose for me to have to do it, I was just like, oh, you know, I'll just figure it out instead of having that mindset. Well, I've never done it before, so I can't do it.
I can't do it.
Right. It's like, I haven't done it before, so let me try.
That's true. And it's so many things in my life, Nora, that takes me back to your book. Your book was probably I'm in a book club, and your book was probably the last book I read, which was like 2 months ago, and now I'm making excuses. Oh, the print is too small in your book. I don't like that book, and I haven't done too much in reading books other than yours. But there are so many occasions in my life when it takes me back to that book, Killing Comparison.
Mm-hmm.
I swear to you, I would advise a lot of people, and I've told a lot of people to read that book, because it's sort of like you put that spirit in people that, hey, I'm this kind of person, and I don't have to be like you to be successful.
Right.
I don't have to compare you with me.
Mm-hmm.
I can just be me.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, this is the way that God made me. Mm-hmm. That's why I tell people when they get on my nerve, you can't tell my mother on me. You can't tell my father on me. You can't even tell God on me, because he made me and he knows what he made. So I'm not shocking to him. I'm not surprising to him.
Yes.
But your book is, you can be yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I too fat to wear this color?
Mm.
Why do I have to wear my hair like you want me to wear my hair, or like I wear, or like I, you know, this is this is what I want to do. Mm-hmm. Why can't you do it?
And that's one of the things I so admire about you is, like, again, you are you, you know, and you are not, I mean, the thing is, you're not disrespectful. You are simply direct, right? It's like, this is who I am. This is what I will and will not tolerate.
Yeah.
This is the line in the sand. If you stay on the right side, we're good.
That's true.
But if you step to the wrong side,
I'll let you know how you're making me. my son, Scott, tells me, Mama, who cares about how you feel? Just if this is what you want to do, it's your feeling. Just go ahead and do it, because people really don't really care about your feelings.
It's true.
They don't care about your feelings. If this is you and this is what you're choosing to do, then just go ahead and do it.
Exactly. Exactly. I want to get into your career, because you eventually got into education administration. What led you down that path? And you just told me earlier that you were a PE teacher. I didn't even know that part of you. So give us the story.
Well, that's a long time ago. Well, first of all, my aunt, you know, who is our second mother, we are like her children, was a teacher. And so if my mom and my dad, my father had passed away, if I had to, my mother could never have sent me to college, never, because she had to, you know, raise other children, and, you know, she was who she was.
Yeah.
But it was my aunt, really, that was a teacher, and she went to FAMC. That's what they call it.
Oh, it was college then.
Yeah, it was the college then. Okay. So she did. But after I finished high school, I stayed home to go to Hampton Junior College. And at that time, they weren't so strict on teachers and rules and regulations, who can be in the classroom, who can come to the campus. So my aunt would leave school to run errands. God bless her. To run errands.
Yeah.
That would be absolutely a no-no in days.
Yeah.
So anyway, and then she would call me to come out to her class and take over her class.
Oh, wow.
She taught first grade, and I would go out and stay there. If she ran her errands for 2 hours, I was the teacher in her class.
Wait. You could just have somebody come and just teach while you went and just did something else.
Maybe she knew the principal. Okay. But anyway, yes. That's what you do. You know, you can't even go on a campus now unless you take a
picture.
Everything
locked down.
They know who you are.
Oh, you got to do prints. Yeah,
you got to do prints. They're going to check your purse. They're going to check your backpack. But when she was teaching, hey, she'd tell me what I had to do. Write the news. Today is Tuesday. February, whatever, I'd write that on the board. And I learned to write like a first grade teacher on the board. You know how they had to, all of the letters, they had two lines and they had a dotted line. So many things had to touch the dotted line, and so many things went above the line. And I mean, that's how I learned to print in a very
just randomly
hey Karen, what are you doing? You don't go to school until 4 o'clock today. Come in, I gotta go somewhere. I was back in the day.
We can't do that now.
Oh no. You'd be arrested. She'd lose her job and everything. So To make a long story short, is because of her influence. And if she's sending me to junior college, and after junior college, she sent me to Florida A&M, and she, you know, say, whoever's coming next when Carrie finishes, then I'll send you. You go to junior college like she did, and then you can go to FAMU.
Okay.
But she gave all of my sisters something. Gave us all something. Big. Another sister went to college. Another one went part of the time. And then my oldest sister got married at about 18, so she gave her this big elaborate wedding, so that was hers. But anyway, she was very, very nice to us. And as a result of, when I say I'm going to major in PE, that was a no-no too. Yeah. But that's what I wanted to do, so that's what I did, because it didn't sound like it was something she wanted me to do. But she did let me do it. But she was, you know, everybody believed in education, but everybody, all of us, I mean, all of my family, very few of them went to college. She did. My great-grandmother couldn't read and write. My daddy finished high school. My mother did not. She, I think she stopped in 10th grade. But my great-grandmother, I tell you, this is another short story about courage and being sure of myself. The three girls would go to Christian River to spend 2 weeks with my great-grandmother. No lights, no indoor plumbing.
Wow.
During that time. Yeah. But she had a creek right beside her house, and we would fish that ran into the Gulf of Mexico. But she, my sisters, would be crying to go home, but not me. I love the country and the living that she did. And my sisters would be crying, and they would ask me to write the letter to my mom and dad. So I write the letter, and then I, you know, have to get okay from my great-grandmother, who couldn't read and write. Yeah.
So she didn't even know what you were saying.
No, she would say to me, "Nona, read the letter to her."
And you'd be like, "Hey, we're having such a great time."
I said, "Oh, we're having fun." And then when I get, I've always been an actress. And then when I would get, I wrote it in fine letters. Gloria and Jewel are crying. They want to come home. But I would just be telling my grandmother these growing things that, you know, we just wanted to say hello.
Oh, gosh.
Push me up to write that letter.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that makes sense now, because one of the things that has been such a paradox to me about you, which has been funny, is you are so glamorous and so poised and just so classy. And you also love the outdoors and fishing and shooting. And I mean, you are like a riddle wrapped in an enigma. So that makes sense now from that part of your life.
Yes. And you know, Nora, when I was at A&M, they didn't have an archery club for girls. But when they got ready for somebody to go to another college or university for the archery team, I got on it.
Wow.
When they wanted they wanted somebody to do this, that, and the other, my friends and I just got on it.
Yeah.
You know, although I was a cheerleader at A&M, but I was in the dance group at A&M. And we did a lot of things. When they got ready for somebody to go and have competition and the girls didn't have that sport on campus, we all went. We all just got on the team.
So you've always been adventurous.
Yes.
I want to talk a little bit about love for a minute. Mm-hmm. So you've been married a couple times. I would love to know, what attracted you to the lucky gentleman that were given the privilege of being your husband? And also, what did you learn about yourself in each relationship?
Okay, Nona. Do you want me to be proper, or do you
want to be you? Speak from your heart.
Speak from my heart.
Yes.
Okay, money. And that might sound a little strange, a little unsophisticated. But think about it. Mm-hmm. If you want to move forward in life, if you want to have a home, you want to have nice friends and nice things, it goes back to money. Goes back to money. Yeah. And I always wanted those things. Always wanted those things. And I always, I was always attracted to older gentlemen, well-established gentlemen. And I just was attracted to them And another reason, because, you know, a lot of times we lack attention, and I want it to be, hey, here I am.
Right.
And whomever is back there, they can't see them. They're just seeing me.
Yes.
So, but anyway, I always wanted somebody who was honest, had a sense of humor, somebody who was a Christian, loved God. Somebody who was a good communicator, educated, and, you know, just had a good place in their life. So both husbands fell into that category.
Yes. So first marriage.
Okay.
What did you learn from that? Because that one ended in divorce. It wasn't the best situation.
That did end in divorce. And sometimes you can love a person, but you don't like them. Mm-hmm. And somebody said, oh, why would you get a divorce? Because my first husband was very kind, very nice, educated, very smart. Mm-hmm. Always liked smart men. Very smart. He was a chemistry teacher. He taught, and he was an administrator. Mm-hmm. And so he felt, I mean, you know, he really did.
He fit the mold.
Same thing. I keep saying, this is what I want, but that's what I had.
Yeah.
But you know what? Sometimes when you're younger, you make decisions that maybe you should not have made. Mm-hmm. You should not have made. And like I say, sometimes you love a person, but then as the years go past, you don't like them anymore.
Right.
And, you know, that's about all I can say is don't make quick decisions when it comes to the rest of your life. You got to think about it and make sure that it can't be fixed before you just give up on it.
How did you navigate raising a son, like between two households? Because I'm sure there are people watching who are in that situation, and it's hard. So how did you kind of navigate that?
Well, you always try to be friends and have a good relationship. Mm-hmm. I mean, you work at being friends. And that was the time when I got a divorce, if I remember correctly, when my son was in college. Mm-hmm. So it was...
So he was already out of the house.
He was already out of the house.
Yeah.
So it was... It's better to have two people raise children, sure, but with him out of the house already, then you just have to... This is what happened, and it's nobody's fault. Yeah. You just... Something happened, and you no longer... Mm-hmm. want to be married.
Now, an interesting twist, aren't you currently like your ex's caretaker or something? what is happening with that now?
Yes. Now, we haven't always been friends. I must admit that.
Yeah.
But now my ex-husband is 95, and he has some health issues. And Scott works in California, around the world, Atlanta, New York. But when he has, you know, sold his place in LA. So now he is at home, but he does go away and stay a week to 2 weeks. And when he's not in town, I am to, and my ex-husband and I are friends now. Mm-hmm. You know, as we get older, we have become better friends.
Yeah. Any hope for rekindling?
No, there's no.
I had to throw that in there.
but you know what, Nona, he's a very nice man, and I don't mind doing this for him because we were married for 25 years, and we have a lovely 25 years, and we have a lovely son. So I have no problem with making. Touching base with them every day, visiting him every other day because I play tennis and I can leave tennis and go and make sure he has what he needs. Mm-hmm. And my son depends on me, and I want to do that because I know it's the right thing to do.
Sure.
And we only have one son, and most of his family members have passed away.
Yeah.
So I do it. And I don't mind doing it because we are friends.
Yeah.
And then plus he's a father of my son, yeah, and I would do it anyway.
Yeah.
But sometimes he does remind me why.
Sometimes you're like, oh, that's why.
That's why. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You live here and I live over there. And sometimes my ex-husband, if I pass, you know, go by him and I have on my tennis, just leaving tennis court, sometimes he'll say, you know, look at me like, what are you doing in that? I mean, you know, and he has said it too, but I say, I'll talk with you later.
Right, right.
I'm going to my home.
Yeah, I'm going to my I want to talk about second marriage and insights you learned from that. Because I remember, so he passed away, sadly. And I remember that that whole situation was just so toxic.
It was very toxic. And if there are any ladies in the audience that marry, have a second marriage or first marriage, that the gentleman has grown children.
Mm.
Now, my second husband, Atkins' son, was a few years younger than me. Mm. So he had grown children. And his daughter asked me, one of his daughters asked me, do you consider us your stepchildren? I say, well, I just consider you Atkins' children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you almost old as I am.
Right. We're in this together.
Yeah. But there, I could really have a true long conversation with somebody who marries and they have children.
Yeah.
That is another equation.
Yeah.
I mean, it is the most devastating time in my life was when he passed away.
Yeah.
It's when he passed away. Mm-hmm. Because if you have grown children, it doesn't matter if you, it was 7 years married to him before he passed away. If you have grown children, I don't care how long you stayed with that man and how good you were.
Mm-hmm.
You were together and you were to him and he was to you. They don't like it.
Mm.
It's a sort of their attitude is, hey, she's going to get something.
Oh, she's gonna
take my stuff. I would have gotten.
Yeah.
And here she comes.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really a bad time.
Mm-hmm.
A very bad time when you have grown children.
Yeah.
It almost went to the depths of hell with those grown children. I mean, honestly, because some people, Nona, will shoot you about a jelly jar.
Mm.
If they didn't get the jelly jar, they'll shoot you. But this man really did not forget his children.
Yeah, sure.
He'd never forgotten his children because I was the second wife. And, you know, he and his first wife, you know, probably would have stayed together until, you know, one of them passed away.
Yeah.
But, and I always welcomed them into my home. But there is trouble in the land when you have grown children and you marry a man who has grown children. You've got to take care. A prenup is probably, I didn't have a prenup, but his daughter wanted him to have a prenup. But he took care of his business before we even got married. Mm-hmm. He took care of his business.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think they like that. Always, you know, you can treat them nice and kind, but it's something you get that they would have gotten, and they don't like that. Their attitude.
Thinking about that situation specifically, looking back on it, if you knew then what you know now, so you talked about a prenup, that would be something potentially that you would consider. What else do you think women need to be thinking about to protect themselves in the event that they lose their husband?
Well, you know what? Many people, when they get married and you take your vows and you say, this is until death do us part, That's what you want it to be.
Yeah.
But it doesn't happen that way.
Mm.
You know, it doesn't happen that way. But what women have to realize, and maybe men too,
mm-hmm.
but I'm talking about women, what we have to realize is that you have to be prepared.
Mm.
You really, truly have to be prepared. And have you heard your mom would say, you have to prepare for war during mm-hmm. peacetime.
Yeah.
Because when this happened and those children have a certain attitude, you have to be prepared.
Yeah.
Because some women can be out there, you know, all alone and they didn't take care of it.
Yep.
They thought it's going to last forever.
Yep.
They thought this man is going to live forever. And it's not, doesn't have to happen that way.
Yeah.
But I think that you have to be prepared to protect yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be prepared to protect yourself
mm-hmm.
because this was a bad situation with me.
Yeah.
A very bad situation.
Yeah.
I had to pay three lawyers. I had to pay three lawyers.
You didn't even get to grieve, really, because it was so much going on.
There was so much going on. So I just tell ladies to be prepared, really be prepared.
Yeah.
And you have to look out for yourself. You have to protect your heart, protect your life. Yeah, just be prepared.
I want to switch gears a little bit and talk about your style.
Okay.
How would you describe your style and where did you take your inspiration from? Because
okay.
you have always been impeccable.
Oh, but knowing your with time, style. You are so
impeccable.
Fine. Well, I tell you what. Now, I had my mother was a dresser and a seamstress.
Mm-hmm.
There was my grandmother that never went to church without a hat mm-hmm. unless she was singing in the choir.
Mm-hmm.
And she wore one then, but she had to take it off.
So
my grandmother, and they had different styles. Mm-hmm. And then when it came to my aunt, she was a little more sophisticated and mm-hmm. a little more matron.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And sometimes I like to dress like that.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes there's nothing like a wonderful skirt
mm-hmm.
and a long sleeve blouse with a bow tie in the
uh-huh.
front and a pair of wonderful pumps
mm-hmm.
on.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't like pumps, but there you cannot get away with not having a good pair of pumps.
Okay, I have to say something you told me once.
What's
is
that?
You said, Nona, if I ever get to the place where I'm in a wheelchair, make sure I have my heels on.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I did. When I came over here today, I said, oh, I don't want to go in this dusty closet because of the work I'm having done. I said, I'm just going to wear a pair of tennis shoes and tell Noah not to show my feet. But I love wearing, love wearing high heel shoes. I love my pumps. There's nothing like a pair of looking like a sophisticated lady
mm-hmm.
with a pair of pumps on. I mean, I like my toes out too,
uh-huh.
but when the rubber meets the road, a good pair of pumps might do. So anyway, I got that my style from my mother and the ladies in my family,
mm-hmm.
different styles. But then there was a lady in my neighborhood that I can't forget about. Her name was Miss McDuffie.
Mm.
And every time I saw Miss McDuffie, she had on blood red lipstick, blood red toenail polish, a pair of high heel sandals with her toes showing,
mm-hmm.
a white blouse off of her shoulders,
okay.
and a black skirt with a slit in it,
okay.
and a young man. I'll never forget Mrs. McDuffie. That was, and my mother, I have a family portrait of my mother, and
uh-huh.
she's dressed that same way. But she had on a long sleeve blouse, and it was, you know, wasn't off of her shoulder.
Uh-huh.
But I remember Miss McDuffie with having that outfit on.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I like to dress like Miss McDuffie.
Mm-hmm.
But there are times when I want to be a little more sophisticated, a little more dressed,
uh-huh.
that I do change and put on those little suits.
You always have the perfect Every time I see you, I literally am just like amazed. You just have the perfect ensemble for every occasion.
Oh, thank you, Nona. You do. I did inherit my husband's closet. So instead of having one walk-in closet,
all right,
I have two.
And we have to fill up the closet. Like, we can't have a bare closet. Thinking of that, what do you think about, and I know you were on social media at one point and you were off at one point, but what do you think about this trend that seems to be women just displaying all the goods? Like, what do you think about that?
Well, you know what? We did come from a different era. Mm. And that was a no-no. Mm. And I really talked with Scott about this one time. And he said that there are some women that you don't want to take home to your mommy. Mm. You don't want to take them home to your mommy. Because you have to... you just have to look a certain way, and it's, what is your goal? Mm, when you do goal? When you do that, what goal do you have? What are you trying to do, or what are you trying to say? Because if you are a sophisticated lady and you dress appropriately, which is your definition of appropriately, and you just know that there are certain things that ladies just don't do. Mm-hmm. Ladies don't go out and, I mean, there's a subject that they don't want to approach, and that's sex. Mm-hmm. And we know that that's part of loving.
Sure.
But what are you trying to do? Mm-hmm. Because somebody's told me once, oh, Carrie, you like to be seen. I said, that is absolutely not me. Mm-hmm. That is not me. If you are well-spoken, well-dressed appropriately, all you have to do is walk in a room and they see you. That's all you have to do. Mm-hmm. What your reputation is, how you carry yourself, they see you anyway. Mm-hmm. You don't have to do that.
Yeah.
But what is your goal when you do that?
That's good.
You got to have a goal.
Yeah. What would you say is your goal when you put on the Carrie ensemble? What's the
Well,
goal?
You know what? I like to feel good, and I like to look good too. Yeah. And you know what? Sometimes when Scott is at home, and I'll have two or three pairs of black shoes, a pump, and an open-toe sandal. And I say, Scott, which looks the best with this outfit? And he'll say, and you know, based on where he works and what he does and the people that he's around, I really trust his judgment. Mm-hmm. So he say, oh, they're wearing XYZ in LA, and this is what the stars are wearing. But I just like to look good, and I like to feel good. Mm-hmm. And that's something like if you are playing tennis and you go on a tennis court with a tennis outfit on versus a pair of cut-off jeans and whatever, you're going to play better.
So true.
You're going to play better if you're dressed appropriately.
Yeah.
And
husband always... He likes to make fun of me because he says, I go to the grocery store in a prom dress. but I agree. Like, you said something to me so many years ago, and it has stuck with me, which is always look your best.
Yeah.
Always look your best.
Uh-huh.
Because you feel your best when you look your
best. When you look your best. You're starting to do, Nona. I mean, I know sometimes I have to leave home in a rush doing something. Mm-hmm. But those rare days, and I put on my sunglasses,
right.
I put on my hat, and hopefully nobody will see me. But you will do your best when you're looking your best. And you can, it even has to do with your thinking.
Yes.
Your speaking when you look your best. Now, I sometimes... cut my own yard because my son bought me a lawnmower for Mother's Day.
Oh gosh, that's
so funny. So and my neighbor say it looks better when I cut it anyway. But if I'm out in the yard, and I mean, you know, it's just the habit that when people pass by, you may not know them, but you'll still speak to them and still speak to this person. Sometimes when I'm out in the yard cutting, I have on my ponytail, my lipstick, my gold hoops.
And you never know who's driving by.
That you're absolutely right. I went to a football game with my cheerleader friends. We used to meet, uh-huh. but now we've gotten older and they have their health issues and we don't do it anymore. And so when I go to FAMU, to the homecoming game, and one day I was leaving, getting ready and putting on my high heel shoes, they say, "You're going to wear those home?" I said, "Oh, I'm going to dress to go home." I said, "What happens if something happens to my car? I got to get out the car." I want to be looking my best.
That's right.
I want to look my best. So my friends, and as soon as I get my house finished, they're going to come, my old cheerleader friends, they're going to come and visit, and they're going to spend the weekend with mm-hmm. me. They're going to be about four girls. They were cheerleaders too. And they all have health issues. Mm-hmm. They are not playing tennis. They're not doing very much, but they do like to eat and things like that. Mm-hmm. So, they say they can hardly wait to get here because they want to critique me. Oh, you know, we want to do this, Carol. We want to be like you to do that. But I have some friends that they want me to wear. Now, I'm not saying anything about Depends, because one of these days I will get there. But it's sort of like a badge of honor that everybody's doing that but me.
Right. You said, "Well, my underwear is just regular."
I'm still wearing bikini. I'm getting fat, Nona.
No. It's a badge of honor.
It's a badge of honor. It's like I'm different. What? What are you doing? Not that they think that it's time for me to join the club.
Listen, but you told me one time, you said you are going out kicking and screaming. You said, "I'm not going down easy."
Go out easy. No. I'm sorry I had to bring that up.
No. I love it. No, I love it. Because you know what? That, again, you truly are my example. Like, you really are. Like, I, even when I'm home. Mm-hmm. I'm dressed.
Yeah.
Now, I may not have the hair hole situation, but I'm dressed.
You absolutely. seem like we can clean. We can get motivated to clean our houses when you get up with. And I tell you something else that I like to say right here. Even when you, now I don't know what you do, Nona, but the ones that are married, the ladies that are married, mm-hmm. the ladies that are courting. Uh-huh. Please take the rags off your head at night. No.
Talk about it, Carrie.
Do not go to bed with a rag on your head. Just, you're going to be so much, you're going to be, you're going to be really nice. But do not. Put a rag on your head at night.
What should they wear on their hair, dear?
I think that that's the time to be free and to be normal.
Okay.
You know, all of this, I don't know if they call it a do-rag. I'm not sure what that is, but I have heard them say something.
A bonnet.
A bonnet. Oh, no.
You said let it go. Just let it
be. You just let it go. Take every, just let it be free. Really? The men don't say any. Some men don't say anything about wearing your hair, your rags on your hair at night. Right. But that's one thing that I think your gentleman would be so proud if you didn't. I mean, you know, it's just a better look. It's
yeah.
I mean, you can rest better.
It's more appetizing.
Better.
She said you didn't cuddle better if you're not wearing a rag on your head.
And you know, I know we take all of our makeup off and all of that. But sometimes it might not be a bad idea just to take your lipstick and blot it just a little bit.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Just give them a little something.
A little something. It doesn't have to be all the way, but definitely we'll take the bonnets off.
Listen, if anybody knows how to keep a man happy, it is you. So I want to ask a couple questions and we'll kind of wrap up a little bit.
Okay.
You mentioned how there are ladies in your friend group who have health challenges, but you play tennis multiple times per week. You're serving on multiple community boards.
Mm-hmm.
You're in all types of organizations. Mm-hmm. You are as healthy and just full of life as anyone my age. So what is your secret?
Well, what I always like to say, Nona, is just because I do all of these things that I do to stay healthy, it doesn't mean that my life expectancy will be longer than yours.
Well, let me just put it this way. You're not leaving here till I'm leaving here. We're leaving here together. So.
Okay. It means that my chances are better.
Yeah.
So if you're living a healthy life, it means that your chances are better. Mm-hmm. And I look at life right now as a decline. It's I am declining. I am preparing for something.
Mm.
I'm preparing.
Mm-hmm.
And when you prepare for the end, you want your end to be painless,
yeah,
peaceful,
mm-hmm,
happy,
mm-hmm,
and not a struggle.
Yeah.
Not to say that that's the way it's going to be. But my advice is to stay moving.
Yeah.
Stay around people. Mm-hmm. Don't be so sick you can't call your friends on the phone. You can't go places with your friends, mm-hmm, have lunch. Being around people, there's a study that was done about 5 years ago. And if you want to increase your life about 10 years, mm-hmm, it says play tennis.
Mm-hmm.
And one reason that they say to do that, this was a study done, that not only are you physically getting some benefits, but mentally you are too,
mm-hmm,
because you are around people, and people don't know that being around people,
yeah,
adds so much value to your life.
Mm-hmm.
It's when you shut down and shut other people out, it's when you really start your decline,
mm-hmm,
especially you get ailments. If you have knee trouble, then your knees start, yeah, to decline and even faster. So what I do is I play tennis with young people. Just playing tennis would be great.
You don't just play tennis, you whoop them.
I love it.
Dominate.
I do like winning. I walk in the spring with friends in the neighborhood. I stay involved in my club works. I drink, mm-hmm, water, and every day I drink a spinach drink. Mm-hmm. Every day. Now, I don't know that thing about Popeye the Sailor Man, but I know. But I do know it is very healthy for you. So I do that. I have a spinach drink. I put, the doctor says, berries, mm-hmm, berries, strawberries, mm-hmm, blueberries, blackberries, all kind of berries. And it helps you. Well, first of all, we know that there are certain things that we need every day, nutrients, right, that we need every day. And if you do that every day, you're getting your fruit, you're getting your vegetables, and this will help to fight diseases that, hit us when we're aging.
Mm-hmm.
So, and drink water. You know, with Scott being a trainer, I do get some hints from him and what to look for. I mean, I don't eat anything unless I know how many grams of sugar and salt. And women are supposed to have so many grams of sugar a day. Oh, yeah. Men can have more, but you got to watch your intake and everything. You got to drink a lot of water. You got to stop drinking a lot of sugar drinks. And so mine is just to have my spinach drink every day, exercise, talk to friends, and stay active. I know that the people at my house are wondering, does this lady live at this house? Because I say, I'm gone.
But I love it. You stay on the move and you stay, you're full mm-hmm. of life. You're full of life. I want to ask you this last question.
Okay.
You mentioned it just now, and I don't even want to think about it, but you mentioned time wrapping up and winding down. And like I said, you're going to be here at least another 50 years.
Hopefully.
At least another 50 years. So that's what I'm banking on for me. What do you want your legacy to be?
Well, that is a good question, Nona. And you really have to stop and think about it. I want it to be that I've been a role model for people. I want it to be that I help people. I want my family to cry real hard. No, I don't.
Yes.
And then I want to let people know what my journey has been, so maybe their journey can be better. Mm-hmm. Maybe their journey can be better in helping people and being a role model. And, you know, sometimes I wonder, why would Nona want me to be her godmother? Oh, I didn't know. It's sort of like, why? What have I given? What do I have to offer? I'm just a poor little country girl.
Oh, please.
country girl. And I want also to be remembered as a person who was honest. I don't want to say speak my mind, but I do want people to know that I really work at being honest, and nobody's perfect. And I've made many, many mistakes in my life. But then the mistakes that you make, hopefully you learn some things from it, and you can work at not making those mistakes again. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just a helper. I've been a helper, and came from like I said, my background was my family. Mm-hmm. We had happy times. Although my oldest sister, since I was the second oldest, I always remember getting her overcoats and dresses and
hand me down.
Yeah, but it was, it was a good life, and I'm sure people that it was just that time.
Yeah.
I didn't know anybody who was doing better, other than a couple of people in the town who dads were physicians or dentists or something, and they wanted to be like us. One thing I was thinking about when you asked me a question was that when growing up, back to my years of growing up, my dad would always take us to Paradise Park. Mm-hmm. And that's just like, you know, the black part of Silver Springs. Mm-hmm. And my mother was in a beauty contest there. She won. Then my oldest sister was in the beauty contest. She won. And I was in that same beauty contest, and I won. I think it was when I was in the 12th grade. But anyway, those are the kind of things that we did as families, going to picnics and go to the drive-in movie with our dad. But, you know, we were poor, but we were rich in other things, you know, and it's really sad when other people, it's never too late to bring happiness into your life, because you meet other people that make you happy.
Yeah.
Even if your childhood wasn't like my childhood, if you had somebody that didn't I often think about people when they talk about their childhood mm-hmm. and how sad it is when they had when they didn't have people to say I love you and to kiss you and to hug you and to protect you.
Yeah.
It is a sad situation, but you know mm-hmm. you can work at you know mm-hmm. trying to do better, and wasn't your fault or my fault whatever happened to us, but. We can, you know, you have to keep praying about it mm-hmm. and not leave God out of it. And mm-hmm. he will eventually take care of whatever the problem is and make, you know, bring people into our lives that make us happy. Although mm-hmm. we will never forget some of the things, but, you know, you work at it every day.
Well, you have been, I said at the very beginning, but you have been everything I could ever have wanted in a mother.
Oh, well, thank you, truly. Nona. I say that too about you and a daughter. I swear to you. Yes.
You've just been so, so encouraging and just, again, what you have taught me, not only what you've said, but just the example mm-hmm. that you live. I think your legacy for me is to have the highest standard possible.
Mm-hmm.
Have the highest standard. Yeah. Not even just in the physical, have the highest standard in how I show up and do my work,
mm-hmm.
have the highest standard in terms of right and wrong,
mm-hmm.
being willing to stand mm-hmm. when something is not right.
Yes.
Stand and make your voice be known.
Yes.
You know,
yes, that is so true.
I have learned that from you. And I just thank you for taking me on.
I thank you. I thank you, Nona, for letting me love you. I thank Tim all the time for sharing you with me and with others.
And keeping my boys. And Lord have mercy. Bless you.
Well,
bless you.
Well, no trouble at all. No trouble.
No, you whipped them right into shape. But they said, when is Miss Carrie going to come watch us again? So you.
Well, I had fun with them, too. I had fun. But I'm very happy that, you know, I have some other young ladies that have, mm-hmm. you know, in my life that's mm-hmm. that. Everybody's got something special to offer mm-hmm. other people in their lives. Yeah.
Because you're such a giver. Like,
well,
I'm one of many. But I consider myself to be the best. Yeah. I don't care. I am the best of the group. And you make me believe that, too. So yeah. I love it. I love it.
Yeah, I love it, too, Nona. But it's a journey. It's a journey. We still have a long way to go. And but we make the most of what God has given us and be thankful for that, really.
Well, I appreciate you for making the time to sit down with me and have this conversation. There are so many people who I'm sure have been blessed by our conversation.
I hope so.
And I'm just grateful for who you are.
Oh, so thank you. I love you.
I love you. Yay! I give you a long, long hug.